Want to turn to read from God's Word? We're turning to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be reading from chapter 4, verse 1, down to chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians, beginning at chapter 4, verse 1. This is the living word of the living God. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that their surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who's given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. I do want to thank you for the invitation to come and speak at the Church Family Weekend. I have very fond memories of growing up in this congregation and fond memories of our church weekends. It was always one of the highlights of the year. I remember going to Castlearn in Portrush. I remember the revolving door that they had, and as a 5 or 6 year old, it was a great source of enjoyment. It was a plaything, even though I was a little scared to step out of it. I remember the gong that was sounded for the meal times. I remember Billy Hamilton kicking my football into the sea and then valiantly going in to rescue it. I remember being in children's groups with John Donnelly, Edward Parks, Kerry Cubitt, and Jennifer Officer. And never really impressed that I had to be in the same group, though, as my little sister. I remember the first time that we decided to run the family weekend staying in the church building rather than going away, although I don't think a 10 or 11-year-old really had much say in it. I remember the sleepovers in church when some children once brought some boxing gloves and they had a fight club on the Friday night when the responsible adults had gone. I won't say who that was. I have fond memories of the fellowship, of the revered speakers who came along. Not quite sure what's happened this year, but we'll get through that. I remember thinking of the church family weekends, I hope things never change. Special days, very special days. Could look around and be glad with the blessings that God had given to us. And so I look back with joy, with thankfulness, but also with a certain measure of sadness. As the years go on, those who once were so active, they're either not with us anymore, or they're in the evening time of their lives. I was thinking when I was in preparing for this, I could list some names. I don't think I'd be able to cope with that emotionally, so I won't do that. Some of you who are younger, or those who have perhaps come to the congregation in the last 10, 15, or even 20 years, you won't necessarily know the impact and the spiritual influence that these giants of the faith had on so many. And so for me, as I come here this weekend to give these talks, as I look at the church weekend, I do so, I feel a little bit like the Jews who'd returned to the promised land after exile. And they started to rebuild the temple. And as the foundations were laid, many of them were rejoicing. But some were weeping because they remembered the former temple. They remembered the better days. It was mixed emotions. Isn't that often the way of it, though? Either we think or we hope things will never change. We look around and we say, this is great. This is wonderful. This is the best that it can be. Or we look around and we see the changes that have come from before. We perhaps remember better times or happier times. And so we look around with a sense of sadness, even disappointment, mixed emotions. Well, all of this ties in with our theme this weekend. A theme that comes from words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. If we lived our lives looking only to the things of this life, if we had our perspective fixed only on the things that we see around us, then we will become dejected, disappointed, and discouraged. But Paul says that as believers, our way is different. What we are looking to is different. Our walk is by faith, not by the appearance of the things around us. Over this weekend, I plan on speaking four times on this theme. Tomorrow morning, we'll be looking at the duty of walking by faith. That is our responsibility. Tomorrow evening, it'll be the development of our walk of faith. That is growing in faith in our day-to-day lives. Then on the Sabbath day, the delight of our walking by faith. That is our destination. What is the goal, the end point of our walk? But I want to begin tonight by defining what walking by faith means. So the definition of walking by faith. And to do that, we turn our attention to the passage that we read earlier in 2 Corinthians. In chapters 4 and 5, although we're going to be focusing in on verse 7 and using that as our theme, I want to develop it by looking at it in its context. So we're going to be using these chapters, we'll be using the verses around it to help us understand what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, to these believers, and he's defending or setting out his ministry. There have been some who've criticized and openly opposed Paul. They've said, look at how much he suffered. He can't be an apostle. Look at how weak he is. Look at how unimpressive he is. You say he's a called of God apostle, a servant of Jesus Christ. That can't be the case because outwardly, he doesn't look like that. Look at his life. He's weak, unimpressive. And yet Paul takes this criticism and he's showing the Corinthians that rather than renouncing his apostleship, these things are confirming it. He says we live this life as jars of clay, easily broken. We live this life surrounded by the things that are transient, the things that are passing. We live this life, you see, looking to things that are not seen, things that are eternal, the promises of God in Jesus Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. So let's define these terms this evening so that we're clear in our minds concerning what we're speaking about when we say walking by faith, not by sight. There are two contrasting ways to live. One is by faith, the other is by appearance. One is by looking to or trusting in what cannot be seen. The other is by looking to or trusting in what can be seen. And as Christians, as believers, Paul is calling us to the first of these. We walk by faith. We walk trusting in, holding on to, and clinging to those things that cannot be seen. Well, firstly, this evening, let's consider those things that can be seen. I want us to think about the frailty of life. So for the boys and girls who are here and listening, and are the young people, if you're trying to get in your minds, what is that old man talking about? This is my first point. We're thinking about how frail and fragile and weak this life is. The frailty of life. And this is what we see around us. The things that can be seen. The appearance of things is literally what Paul is saying here in chapter 5, verse 7. And what is it that we see? What is the appearance of things? Well, in the context of this verse, Paul is speaking about our physical body and our experiences. Look back at chapter 4, verse 7. He says we have this treasure in jars of clay. Here he's speaking about the gospel, the saving work of Jesus Christ. We've been made new creations in Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. We are new people in Christ, new hearts. The light of the glory of God is in us. But our bodies, they're just like jars of clay. Weak, easily broken. Dare I even say it, dispensable. If ever you've walked through a museum and you look at all the artifacts that are there, there always seems to be several cabinets filled with pieces of broken pottery. Why? Because they're so cheap. Everybody had them. Loads of them. And when they broke, you just discarded them. You got rid of them. And that's why in these archaeological digs, when they're digging, they're always finding pieces of broken pottery, clay jars, because they're worthless. Our physical nature, our bodies, prone to sickness, disease, death, and ultimately decay. They are weak. They are easily broken. And when they've served their purpose and they're no longer useful because they're cracked, it might sound a bit crude, but this is the illustration Paul is using. We dump them in the ground. Paul's illustration is a little bit upsetting. It is rather shocking. But he's saying, this is like our physical nature. It's passing, it's transient, it's weak, it's frail, it's vulnerable. From dust we are, and to dust we will return. Chapter 5, verse 1, he describes our physical appearance, what we see, as our body being a tent which is our earthly home. And he says it can be destroyed. This word destroyed has to do with breaking camp, dismantling a tent, taking it down. It can be quickly dismantled. One moment the tent is standing, and then a few moments later the poles have been removed and it's collapsed. And then it's just rolled up and put away, left until the next summer holiday. A tent. It's like our body. This is what we see. What is seen with the eyes as we look at our physical body. We see something that is temporary. Something that isn't a permanent dwelling place. It's a tent that we live in for a short time before it's just broken down, rolled up, and put away. Back in chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says that our outer self is wasting away. And friends, that's our physical appearance. We are made from dust, and to dust we will return. And we see that. Look around you. For the boys and girls, look at some of the really old people. I'm talking about older than me. They're old. They're fragile. They're weak. This is the appearance of what is seen. A jar of clay, a tent, something that's wasting away. Our physical body, Paul speaks about here. But then he also talks about not just our physical appearance, but our experiences. Our experiences in this life. Again, in chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. And we're just taking the negatives here at this stage. He says, we are afflicted. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are struck down. In chapter 5, verses 2 and 4, Twice he says in this tent, we groan. We groan being burdened. And aren't these also our experiences? What we see around us, the outward appearance of this life. Some of you are far more familiar with these things than I am. What are I see? Not only are those who once were strong and able no longer having the same energy or mental capacities or vigor, but we also add to this afflictions. We are afflicted. This refers to the pressures that come crushing in on us. The pressures of this life that weigh down on us. That's the affliction that Paul is talking about. The pressures that you have at work. The pressures you have at home. The pressures you have day after day. Our sufferings, our hardships, our trials. Paul says we can become perplexed. That is to be at a loss, to be in doubt or despondent. Why is this happening? God, what is it that you're doing here? Why has my child become sick? Why are these hard experiences coming in on me? We can be perplexed. Paul is saying that is our experience. We face the pressure and we can be at our wit's end. Look around. It's what we see. It's the appearance of things. We live in a fallen, broken world that takes its stand against Jesus Christ and against his church. We're persecuted in a variety of ways. We face the sneers, the laughing, the pressures from the world to be like them and to conform. Persecuted. And in all of this, our eyes see what is changing. We see what is temporary. We see what is transient and fleeting. A broken, hurting, painful world. And we live in it. We're a part of it. We experience it in our bodies. We experience it in our circumstances. As we look at our lives, they can be hard and uncompromising. We see the tent being taken down and dismantled. We see jars of clay cracking and being broken. The frailty of life. Aren't you glad you invited me to be your speaker this weekend? What an encouragement. If we lived our lives for these things, if we lived only looking to these things, trusting these things, then how empty and foolish our lives would be. Again, speaking to the young people who are here, I call you young. It's not that I'm old. I'm not old. But when you look at those who are older, you probably think, I have such a long time to live before I'm anything like them. Oh, my life is going to be long. And I have all these plans of things that I want to do. The job that I want to have. The good things that I want to be a part of. The places that I want to go to. And you look at all of these things in life and you say, I can't wait until I'm a bit older and I'm able to do all of these things. It'll be great and I'll have such a long time to enjoy them. If that's what you're looking to, Paul is saying here, these things will pass away really quickly. And they can break. They can be taken away from you. And your circumstances can become really hard, and things can come crashing in on your life. So don't trust these things. Don't lean on these things. But of course, we know it's not just young people. For those who are older, living for what we see, the appearance, the outward things, your job, your family, this life, the here and now. But Paul says, let's be honest, these things are so fragile and easily broken, jars of clay, a tent that can come down at any moment. And even in the church, if we're just living for the things here and now, if we're just living for the church weekend, this is the be-all and end-all, if we're just living for the good things, then what a disappointment as things change, as we see the passing of time, as we see the tent being taken down and the clay jars being broken. If this is what we lived for, then no wonder we can become so discouraged, disappointed, and disillusioned. That's one way that we could live, having our perspective on this life, looking to the things of this life. And we can fall into that trap. But Paul says, no. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. Our perspective is to be on something different, something greater, something eternal. And so secondly, tonight, just the 2 points. It's the life of faith. The life of faith. So we've thought about the frailty of life, but now we come to the life of faith. And this is having our perspective or our sights set on the things that we can't see. Since we're defining these terms this evening, let's take 2 definitions from God's word that are here for us concerning the word faith. So 2 definitions from God's word concerning the word faith. Firstly, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty of things not seen. Our second definition is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. So firstly, faith is a conviction and a certainty in the saving promises of God in Jesus Christ. And this, secondly, is a gift from God. We haven't earned it. We haven't deserved it. God has given us a gift through which we enter in to the promises of Jesus Christ. And then we lean on those promises. We trust in those promises with full assurance and conviction. Faith is a firm confidence that God keeps his promises, all of his promises. It's a persuaded trust that God will be true to his word. It's not something we conjure up inside of ourselves, but God gives it to us that we might lean on Jesus Christ. It's the same faith that the old covenant saints, the Old Testament saints, are commended for in Hebrews chapter 11 in that list of heroes of the faith. A faith that kept them going that endured despite not having received what was promised. And we have the same promises from God. So what are these promises? What is it that faith is holding on to, leaning on? Well, Paul highlights them here for us in 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. It's the good news. You have it in chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, the light of the gospel. That is new life in Jesus Christ. Where once we were in darkness, where once we were in sin, where once we were under the holy, just wrath of God. We deserved punishment for our sin, but now, in Jesus Christ, God has shone the light into our hearts. He's cleansed us and forgiven us for all our sins. He's brought us into His kingdom of light. We now live in the light of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ lives in us by His Spirit. A remarkable change has occurred. And this is the promise of God for all who come to Jesus Christ, forgiven, made new, brought into His kingdom. The light shines out of darkness and it's shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel, the good news, and it's a promise from God. Your sins are forgiven. What a promise. Look around you again. Can we see it? Do we see it outwardly? This remarkable change of the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shining in our hearts? Yet it's the promise of God. It's sure and certain. And although we don't see it, although it doesn't have a physical appearance to it, we know. We are assured that this is true. God has promised. He's given us the faith. We can lean on that promise. Cling to that promise. There's forgiveness. The gospel of Jesus Christ. There's adoption into His family. An eternal inheritance. The promise goes on. Chapter 4, verses 7 to 15. The promise is that this inheritance will include a new resurrected body. This old jar of clay that will one day just return to the dust, won't be the end of my physical being. But on that day when Christ returns, it will be raised. Verse 14, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. Here's the promise. You are headed to eternity. And it will be a new heavens and a new earth. There will be a recreation in Jesus Christ. And it is dwelling with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. Chapter 4, verse 16 to chapter 5, verse 10. Our new heavenly dwelling. We will be with Him. God has a place prepared for us. We will be at home with the Lord. This is the promise that God makes for you if you're a believer. Can we see it? Can we see the new heavens and the new earth today as we look around us? Can we see the face of Jesus Christ? Can we see the one who died on the cross for our sin and rose again from the dead? Can we see the glorious company of all the redeemed in Jesus Christ before the throne? We can't see the physical appearance of it here. But we know it's true. God has given us the faith in his promises. To trust in those promises with full assurance and conviction. Faith is looking forward to those things. We are walking by faith, looking to the things that are not yet seen. We don't walk trusting in the things of appearance, trusting in ourselves. We walk by faith, not by sight. Friends, this life is not all there is. In fact, this is the least bit of what there is. This is only temporary. But this, the promises of God, this is what we're looking forward to. Believing that what God has promised is true. And we look forward with full assurance and complete conviction. What is it that you're hoping for? What is it that you're trusting in? Are you hoping that things in this life will go well? That it'll be easy? Are you trusting that the things here and now are going to be what will be your eternal dwelling? Are you clinging to the things here and now as being the things that will bring you true happiness and joy and contentment? Because the things here are just transient and passing. The things hoped for, but we cannot yet see, the full and final promises of God in Jesus Christ, our eternal salvation. Paul here is looking ahead. He says, this is how we live. We live looking ahead, walking by faith. Now, this has pastoral implications for us. Firstly, where is your trust? Where are you looking? If all of your hopes and desires are on the things in this life, if all of your joy and contentment and happiness is based on things in this life, your family, your job, whatever, then I want to say to you this evening, you're looking in the wrong place. We don't look to the things that are seen. They won't bring us that contentment and happiness and peace. Have we come to Jesus Christ? Are we leaning and holding to his finished work on the cross, the one who died for our sin? Is our faith in him? We must be looking to the promises of God in Jesus Christ. There's also pastoral implication here for the believer. Here is having our perspective corrected. We walk by faith. What a comfort for the discouraged. When we stand at an open grave, when we sit at the bedside of someone dying, when we look around and have tears in our eyes because we remember the former days and those who were here before, where do we find our joy, our contentment, our hope, our certainty? Well, we're not living for the things in this life. We're looking ahead the promises of God in Jesus Christ. And so as we go through this life, as we face every circumstance, as you face every temptation, every trial and weakness, every time you stumble, we're not looking to the things that this world offers. Not even the visible displays of God's grace. But we are walking, leaning on, trusting in, and holding to the promises of God in Jesus Christ. We do so with full assurance and complete conviction, a certainty. Paul says, we know. It's not a walk that's based on feelings, but we know. God has glorious promises for us in Jesus Christ. We often have mixed emotions. We see the changes. We remember those who've gone before. We really don't like change. But friends, we're not living for this life. We're not living for the things that are transient and passing. We're different. We're fixing our eyes on what is unseen. We're walking by faith. Here we have what I hope is a definition for us, defining this term. Tomorrow morning, God willing, we'll see our duty in this. We'll consider the delight of it and the glory to come. I've forgotten my third talk. Trust me, it is prepared. It's on your sheets anyhow. But tonight, are you walking by faith? Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Lord and Father, as we bow before you in your presence, we thank you for the promises that are ours in Jesus Christ. We thank you, O Lord, that these promises are true and certain because you have made them the eternal one, the glorious one, the God who cannot lie, the God who is only truth and righteousness. And we thank you that these promises are for our salvation, that our sins are forgiven, that we've been adopted as sons and daughters into your family, and that we have an eternal inheritance kept in heaven for us, an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And so, Father, might we learn to walk by faith with full assurance and certainty, looking ahead to those things that are not seen, are not yet seen. Lord, help us to more and more have our perspective fixed on Jesus Christ. Because we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.